Thanks, guys, for leading us in that singing and worship and stuff. It's good. Right. So, we're about to go on a bit of a crash course through the Bible. It's a big book, pretty thick. We're starting pretty close to the beginning of it, somewhere there-ish, and going all the way to about there, the end. So, hang on. I want us to explore the idea of nourishment. Particularly the type of nourishment that feeds our souls, and do so by using the Lord's Supper as a central part of that. To do that, we're going to have several Bible readings throughout this. I'll explain bits and pieces from each of these Bible readings as we go, and we'll see how God nourished and led his people in the Old Testament, and then we'll see how this helps us today. We'll also see how God is sustaining his Old Testament we'll see how God sustaining his people in the Old Testament points towards something far greater. Not a temporary relief from a literal hunger, but a complete satisfaction in him. So, there's a lot to get through today. You've seen how thick the Bible is. Don't worry, we're not going to read it all. Let's get stuck into it. To kick us off, I'm going to ask Christy if she could lead us in our first reading. It's from Exodus chapter 16. It should be on the screen, otherwise turn to your Bibles. So Exodus chapter 16, starting at verse 11. Thanks, Christy.
No worries. Hi, everyone. Exodus chapter 16, verses 11 to 15. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat."
Thanks, Christy. So it's probably worth giving some context here. So the people in this story have been enslaved in Egypt for about 400 years. They've escaped from there with the whole 10 plagues thing and the crossing of the Red Sea where the waters parted and they walked through on dry ground. You might have heard of it before. It's a pretty popular, famous Bible story found in the beginning of the book of Exodus. So anyway, so these people are free from Egypt, but they're in the wilderness. They're wandering towards a new land that God has promised to give them. Problem is, it takes a long time to get there. 40 years, in fact. Now, I don't know about you, but I would struggle to carry 40 years worth of food and water on my back or even on a donkey, right? To carry it through the wilderness. Turns out the people in Israel couldn't carry it all either. Their food ran out. And as I suspect we all would do, they complained about it. Times were tough. Times were very tough in the Israelite community. They'd been wandering about in the wilderness for a very long time. They had no food, no hope, and they thought they were done for. But God provided. Not in extravagance, but just enough for each day. No one had to starve. There was enough. It wasn't like super fancy, but it sustained them through the wilderness for years and years. God continued to provide for them right up until they entered the land that was promised to them. Now, I talk with a lot of you about life. And I get the feeling, in fact, I know, that many of us are feeling like the people of Israel. We feel the pain and the burden of wandering, years of wandering in the wilderness. Not literally, but life is just hard. Difficulty faces many of us here. Sickness. Difficulties at home with family and loved ones. Cancer. confusion with what's happening in the world around us. Just plain old age. Tired, exhausted from life that just never seems to show any signs of slowing down. Mental health battles. People beaten down due to addictions you just can't seem to be able to kick. And ultimately, death. Life is hard. Like the people of Israel, we feel it. And like the people of Israel, we're right to ask the question, how can we keep going? God hears his people's cries. And God provides. Not always in like lavish abundance and extravagance, but enough. He sustained his people as they wandered in the wilderness with enough for each day. They were to go out and gather just enough. Not spare, not extra, just enough. God provided for the people, for his people in the wilderness, and he provides for us too. He provides for us. He sustains us enough for each day. This symbolic meal, which we can't see because it's under a cloth, is a symbol of that. It reminds us of that. In and of itself, it is not extravagant. It is by no means an abundance of food, but it is enough. In fact, what it represents is more than enough. We'll get to that in a minute. So to keep us moving, can I ask Christy for our next reading? The next one comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Thanks, Christy.
Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
Thanks. There are just two things that I want to highlight from this reading. Obviously, there could be many more, but the first is, when fear whispers that God might not come through this time, do one thing. Remember. Look back. Look back over your shoulder at the wilderness you've already walked. Look back. Remember the seasons he's carried. He's carried you through when you had nothing left. Remember, maybe the abundance that surprised you. Remember the days that he gave you exactly enough manna, and exactly enough to get you through the day and not a crumb more. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness those 40 years. He led the people of Israel, and he has led you. Every single step, every single day. He was faithful then. He's faithful now. He will not drop you. He will not stop being faithful. The God who provided yesterday is the same God who holds tomorrow. Remember. And secondly, God doesn't just sustain us physically. He doesn't just provide our literal food for our physical bodies. God could have rained down grocery stores from heaven, but he didn't. He gave manna. Mysterious, daily, just enough manna. Why? So they would learn the secret that still sustains us today. That man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. the manna wasn't ultimately about filling their stomachs. It's about filling their faith. Just like when someone gives a gift to someone, it's kind of not really about the gift. We're familiar with the term, the thought that counts, yeah? The gift is a symbol of the love and the friendship between the gift giver and the gift receiver. The gift tells the person who receives it that they are loved, that they are cared for by the gift giver. Every sunrise scoop of manna was God saying out loud, I am here, I see you, I am speaking, I am guiding you. And this same voice, it still speaks today. The breath in our lungs right now, it's God's provision, it's today's manna. The heartbeat that you rarely notice, it's fresh mercy. The fact that you woke up, the roof over you, the grace that kept you through the night, all of it is God whispering again and again, I am still here, I still love you, and I am still leading. He doesn't just sustain your body, he sustains your soul with his nearness. So, when the future feels uncertain, do two things. Remember. Remember how faithful he's already been. And listen, because the God who spoke manna into existence is still speaking life into you today. God is near. God is good. And he will never stop providing exactly what you need to take the next step. Which again points us to the table. That's why it's in the middle this morning. Look at it. In fact, I should take it off so you can see. Probably not doing this properly, but in the church I grew up with, it was like perfectly folded, but hey. Right. Look at it. Remember what it represents. And at the meal before us, it's not about food filling our stomachs, but Christ filling us. What is sitting there, that gift, it is from God. And it shows us the deep love of God for his people. Like I said before, when someone gives a gift to someone, it's not really about the gift. The gift is a symbol of the love and friendship between the gift giver and the gift receiver. The gift tells the person who receives it that they are loved and they are cared for by the gift giver. What this gift on the table represents is profound. What is on the table shows us that God is near. It shows us that he has and will continue to help us through the wilderness. It shows us that he loves us. Now, if you know what all the stuff on the table is about, you know what I'm talking about. But if you're new to church or religion or this, you know, this idea of God or whatever, you're likely rather confused, as you were by the last song we sung, I suspect, all about the blood. That's okay. That's where this next reading comes in. It's from John chapter 6. So over to you again, Christy. Thanks.
John chapter 6, verses 30 to 35. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from the heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.
As the people wandered in the wilderness, God provided for them. As they weren't in the land yet promised to them, as they weren't yet at home, God helped them, led them, and loved them. His provision of manna and quail showed the people he was very, very near, and he cared for them through this immense difficulty. You might often feel like the people of Israel, wandering, in hardship, facing trials, unsure where to turn, what to do, feeling lost or hopeless. And you don't have manna falling from heaven showing you that a God cares for you and is watching over you. No, you don't. But you have something far greater, which again is what the table in the middle is all about. God doesn't just send some crusty old bread that's dried on the ground in the morning dew to nourish us. He came to earth himself as a man named Jesus. That's what this upcoming Christmas season is all about. Jesus came to earth to live as a man, yet to be fully God too. He did this in order to show us how to live, to teach us, to love us, and ultimately to die on the cross in our place. All of humanity has made a mess of things. We all stuff up. We all make a mess, and sometimes the wilderness we wander in is of our own making. We make poor decisions. We do stupid things and make mistakes. God knows that. He knows that we've stuffed up. He doesn't just point the finger and say, well, tough luck. He doesn't just leave us in our guilt and sorrow. He steps in. He steps in and gives not manna, but himself. Because Jesus came and lived perfectly, he could take upon himself the punishment for all our sin. He could wipe us clean, wash us, rid us of our guilt and our shame. His body was broken when it should have been ours. His blood was spilt when it should have been ours. He died on the cross to make a way for us, his people, to be made right with God. He rose again to conquer death and offer us a new life in him, with him, for eternity. And the meal before us is a reminder of this incredible gift. Yes, it is small, and yes, it is, on its own, insignificant. But what it represents is God's immense heart for his people. His immense sacrifice for his people. His immense love for you. We're going to enjoy this tiny symbolic meal together in just a moment. If you know this, if you know this love, if you know and believe that Jesus suffered and died and rose again to be made right, make you right with God again, if you know and believe that he rose again to give you a new life in him, this meal is for you. If you aren't too sure, just let it pass you by. You won't be made fun of or kicked out. We absolutely respect the fact that you aren't sure about all this, and we would love to journey further with you wherever you are at with God. So can I please ask now that those who have been shoulder tapped to distribute the bread and the juice now. All the bread is gluten-free and the juice is just blackcurrant juice, and please hold them all and we'll eat together and drink it together in just a moment. Thanks, guys. Partake in this tiny meal to reflect on how during our journey through the wilderness God has provided for us each and every day just enough to get by. We partake in this meal to get a sense of his heart and his love for us. The gift we hold shows us the deep love of God. Now he would give a gift as precious, as glorious, as wonderful as he did, that he would give himself for us. Take the bread, the plain old tiny piece of bread that represents his body broken for you, that you might be forgiven. Take it, eat it, remember and believe that Jesus gave himself fully for you. And the little cup, a very ordinary, very small amount of blackcurrant juice. It represents his blood spilt, poured out for you and for me, that we might be forgiven. Take it, drink it, remember and believe that Jesus emptied himself fully for you. Let's pray. God, what love is this? It is too much for us to comprehend. Thanks for sustaining us, not just with material things and food, but with yourself. Thanks for sustaining us through our wilderness wanderings and promising to continue to do so. Thanks that you would forgive us of all of our sin, that you would wash us clean yet again, that you would lavish yourself upon us. God, we are blown away by your heart and your love for us. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty, precious name we pray. Amen. So we've talked a lot this morning about tirelessly wandering in the wilderness this morning, as that's often how life feels. The great news for us, though, is we know that it doesn't end there. We aren't destined to wander through life on this earth, and that is it. Just as Israel had a land promised to them, just as God sustained them up until they entered it, we too have a land promised to us. And we too will be sustained each and every day that we head towards it. We believe that this life is not all there is. Something far, far greater awaits us. The Bible and Jesus are both very clear on this idea of life after death. To show us, in just a couple of places in the Bible, Christy's going to read to us yet another Bible passage. This one's from Isaiah chapter 25.
Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 to 8. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken.
There is more to this life than what we see and experience in the here and now. It is all leading towards eternity. Those who know and believe what Jesus did was for them, they get to spend eternity with him. We will be invited to feast with good food, multitudes of people, and reformers will cheer about this, good wine. No death, no tears, no disgrace. That is what the Bible tells us is ahead. And how good does that sound? I really want to go there. Do you? Now, the second last reading we're going to have this morning is from the last book of the Bible. It's from Revelation. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 9.
verse 6 to 9. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." Then the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God."
Because Jesus did what he did on the cross and in the grave, we can be invited to what Revelation calls the wedding supper of the Lamb. Sounds kind of weird, but bear with me. Meaning that at the end of life as we know it, we will be with him. As Peter said, around a table with him, with the God of the universe. We will spend a perfect eternity in perfect harmony with our perfect God and with one another. That's why it's called the wedding. We will be united with God, together with him. And weddings, especially in the Bible, are a reason to celebrate. We get to go to the biggest, best, most extravagant party the entire universe has ever seen. A party thrown by God for his people at the end of time. And we will all get to celebrate, to worship, and dare I say, party with God and all his people. We can't even begin to imagine what it's going to be like. What a good and loving God we know. He sustains us here and now with enough. Enough for each day. Despite the difficulties we face, he is near and he provides. What a good and loving God we know. That he gives of himself, not just food and material things, but himself. That we might be washed clean, that we might be made right with God. What a good and loving God we know. That he promises eternity with him at the end of time, and the biggest and best party we could ever imagine. Which we've done our best to represent in our morning tea this morning. Thanks to all of you who brought something to share. If you didn't, that's okay. There should be plenty for everyone to enjoy. What we're going to do now is actually sort of wrap things up in here and then actually move out into the foyer, which, I'm sorry, folks on Zoom, you won't really be able to join us or see or hear what's going on in there. My apologies. Good reason to come in, I say. We'd love to have you here. Anyway, so please mill about in the foyer with hope-filled anticipation. And please wait for our Pathway kids and our babysit teams to join us. No, I'm getting there. Hold on. Yep. So, I'd ask you wait with hope-filled anticipation. Just hang in there. Because there's food in the fridges and there's cling wrap on things. If you're that way inclined, can you please get the stuff out of the fridges and get the tables ready? We're not going to serve the food. The idea is you just, it's a party. Grab it. Celebrate. Kids, go like crazy, but ask Mum and Dad to help you if you need it. Anyway, so we're going to mill about out there, and in just a minute or so, we're actually going to close the service off out there with a song, a cappella, I think that's how you say it. No music. We've got words on the telly, and there's actually words scattered around in the foyer. We'll explain that in just a moment. So feel free, stand up, and let's meander out there, and we'll reconvene in just a moment. Thanks.